What's happening? Hour number three, J Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville, making it possible. Jason Swain of the Sports Animal will join us in the next segment. Ron Soleil still to come. Fourth hour, it's Tuesday.
It is.
Bang, bang, bang.
Does that mean Oscars?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Well, whatever.
I don't know which one we're doing. Yeah. Whatever.
Miss Oscars.
They miss you too.
I don't think they do. Really not sure that they do. Hey, Celtics Heat begins tonight. Mm-hmm. Warriors Mavs tomorrow.
Warriors Mavs, yeah. Luka gonna have that same energy?
And he's gonna have to. But the supporting this, I heard Barkley say this after the win on Sunday night, that best thing happened to the Mavs was Luka getting hurt.
Mm.
Because everybody else had to get better and did in order to stay afloat.
Mm-hmm.
And now they know what they can do. They've taken their game to another level, and now Luka's back. And they've got a coach that Jason Kidd just decided, I'm going to show you how to play defense. We're going to commit to it. We were one of the worst defensive teams. Luka didn't play it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's playing okay defense. He's at least contributing, and the rest of the team has galvanized around that. And so now they've become... I've heard it called elite playoff defense right now. Like they look like they're playing playoff level defense that's making things tough. I mean, they made Chris Paul's life miserable. And the other thing that needs to be talked about here is because it was in the same draft.
Yeah.
One of the things I actually got right in my career was when I didn't place a money bet, but I placed a bet the day of the NBA draft that year and said Luka's gonna be the guy.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna be DeAndre Ayton.
Hey.
It's gonna be Luka.
Ayton hadn't been bad. He's grown in the last like couple of years, I feel like.
He has grown, he's not in the same stratosphere as Luka.
Well, the difference is Luka getting more chances with the ball in his hand a little bit too. You know what I'm saying? Like, he controls his own fate, where Ayton got to really wait on. And to your point, you're right. Luka, borderline MVP conversations almost the last couple of years, 3 years with him as far as his game goes. I know everybody's kind of challenged Luka as far as his body.
And that's a concern.
You got to ask that question, like, if he does drop, I don't know what he has to drop. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe 10, or just switch up the way it looks at times. Like, Luka kind of looks like me out there sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Not like that, but in terms of the way NBA has gone about it now. But what's crazy, he's still balling lights out when it comes down to it. His shot is supreme. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what that's going to do for him or why he hasn't taken that next step. As far as I feel like, I don't just want to say it's only one person to challenge him, but I feel like that's something Kobe would say to him. Like the same way he tried to challenge Shaq. You know what I'm saying? So I would almost say the discrepancy between one and the two is Ayton got to wait on the ball and Luka takes the ball every single time. But you're right. Luka's career, he's, as far as stardom goes, you're 100% right on that, Jay. He's taking it to that level. I still can't understand how the Joker won the MVP also.
He's a great player.
Man, you say he's a great player, and I know I don't follow NBA with a magnifying glass, but I don't know. Ron's going to have to explain that to him. You're going to have to break
the best player in the world.
But you can't give it to the best player in the world every year, right? Well, is that the rule?
I don't know. I mean,
you know?
Jokic has won it twice, and what he does is incredible. He's one of the best passing big men that's ever lived.
Did he transform his body too? I know he dropped a good bit.
He has dropped some weight, yeah.
Over the pandemic.
He's an outstanding player. He's not going to be good enough to win a championship by himself.
What is in Denver? I feel like Minnesota is going to end up catching it before they do.
Well, virtually nobody can. That's the point. Like, Durant can't.
Yeah,
he's not good enough to do it by himself. Giannis just got knocked out because he didn't have a running buddy.
Yeah.
Curry's always had a running buddy with Golden State when they've been good. Mm-hmm. You can look at guys like Damian Lillard or Donovan Mitchell and Luka might be Luka doesn't have anybody you would classify as a superstar next to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got talented guys. He's got Brunson and Dinwiddie, but those are not household name number twos.
Right.
This is the test. And this is probably Luka's force of nature, and he seems unguardable right now. The way he can get to the rim, he's not like a great three-point shooter, but when he's on, he's incredible.
Yeah.
And his step back, Dirk's watching that and saying, yeah, I remember that.
It was cool seeing him at the game.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's cool. He's always kind of been like a regal statesman, fun guy.
Yeah.
Dirk's just, it's real easy to root for Dirk.
Always is. Always. And just as cold as he was with his shot and his game and the big man dribbling ball, I absolutely love the coaches, the systems, the teams that allow big men to do stuff like that. In a world where it's just go to the block. Like, nah, man, I got something about me too. So seeing Luka do this and seeing Dirk do it, and not even just that, looking at Giannis is another guy. You're like, you're supposed to be playing the five. Mm-hmm. You're bringing the ball up the court. And I, like you said, the same thing. His three-point shot ain't the greatest either, but the fact that he'll pull it. By the way, again, I feel like we got to say it. Shout out to Grant. 18 threes, man. Attempts, anyway.
I still can't believe how many threes they shot as a team in that game.
Yeah, man. But it's going to be interesting. Also, Jason Kidd's, his relationship with that team right now. I was looking at a clip of him in the locker room with him, and he was just straight up asking him in a coach's, you know, he was in coach mode. I always look at Jason Kidd as either the commentator, the analyst, or even the player. But he had the command and respect of that team right now in Dallas that I honestly didn't know he had as a coach. Like, he's talking to him and he was like, did you believe? Yes, sir. And I was like, y'all still say yes, sir, in the locker room? Like, for him being a former coach, he has created a divide, man, that really they respect him. And they respect what he had to say. He begged them, I guess, as far as playing defense that certain type of way. You said they swarmed Chris Paul in the way they did everything.
They doubled him.
They
doubled Book. They doubled Devin Booker. And Paul was kind of – the other thing that they're doing is they are – and you saw Dallas do it, and you wonder if other teams are going to follow suit.
Yeah.
They got physical with Chris Paul and got really aggressive and went right at him.
Yeah. Hands, all that.
Who was I heard this yesterday. I don't know who was breaking this down.
It may have been our guy, Pat Bev.
No, this was actually on a different radio interview. And basically the thought on Chris Paul was this. Chris Paul plays the point guard spot so well. They call him point guard and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
He plays it so perfectly that he's easy to predict.
Oh, wow.
Because he doesn't alter it. He plays it pristine.
Step one, step two.
If there was a good book of point guarding,
yeah,
Chris Paul would be the Rubik. Like, that's what you would build in a factory to be your point guard.
Okay.
But as such, he didn't do a whole lot of things that you're not anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to him and force the issue, you can lock him down a little bit.
Wow.
Because you can anticipate what he's going to do. Like what you were talking about with Clausen, it seemed like everybody knew.
Yeah.
Where you guys are going before the snap.
Mm-hmm.
You know where Chris Paul's going. You know what he's going to do, which shows how great he is that he still has been this good.
Right.
Even with that potentially being something that you can key on if you're a defender.
Wow.
To sort of know, because he's a wizard. But he plays it like so textbook that there's no variation to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's how do you continue to make that a strong suit, though, as a player?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It feels like that's a massive weakness, but I guess not to be able to improvise.
That's also the person athleticism coming into play, too, I guess.
And I mean, he's special.
He is that. But I'll say this, too. It's going to be interesting to watch. If that plan against Phoenix of swarming defense is what's applied to Golden State, effectively anyway. The thing about it is Golden State will shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. And they got role players that come off the bench that can do similar things. Let's say if they do attack Steph like that, you know, trying to free him up. I mean, you bring in Poole or you bring in somebody else. You're just like, okay, well, now we got our smalls on the court. What are you going to do about this? You know what I'm saying? So, and also how Golden State is going to attack Luka. Like, that's a part, too. Like, Draymond can frustrate him.
Yeah, and I don't know how much Draymond's going to be on Luka because I don't know about that matchup. I think Bev actually did say that earlier today. I think they're going to send different guys at Luka.
Mm-hmm.
But Luka's proved small guys can't guard him and big guys can't guard him.
He bullies guys.
But this is going to be, is he a force of nature individually to where everybody rallies and plays well around him?
Mm-hmm.
And you beat a team that's pretty loaded,
like
Golden State, that's also pretty healthy and has multiple guys that can beat you. I can't wait to watch that series.
This is gonna be good.
I really can't. Both the series should be good. I'm still kind of hoping for Boston Golden State just because I think that matchup sounds so good right now.
It'll be physical.
But Boston, Miami is about to be physical.
Yes. Oh, Jimmy Two-Time.
Real physical. Jason Swain knows how to get physical.
Mm-hmm.
On the field.
Mm-hmm.
On the radio. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to him on the other side on this, whatever, Big Orange Tuesday or whatever the hell we're calling it. Feel like that voice is the Ryan Tannehill slander voice from me. Like, usually that's where I'm saying something under my breath. It's Tannehill related. But we're not doing any Ryan Tannehill slander today. I have no idea why we would. I mean, it's not like he threw 4 interceptions. Jason Swain next. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
He's a good, great guy, and he's focused, he's smart. You know, he knows that recruiting is the lifeblood of getting it done. He likes to, to call plays and do all those things, but in the end, that's only going to be, the result's only going to be who's catching the ball or running the ball.
Right.
That was Philip Fulmer with us earlier, talking about Josh Heupel and what's impressed him so far.
Love this song, and I don't even know why.
Because it was in the office wedding.
It is, right?
It's we really we played time. It at our wedding too, obviously.
You did?
Yeah, in a reception.
Face down, booty up, timber. That's the way we like the world. I'm sicker than an oil.
Keep
it
going.
She says she won't, but I bet she will. Timber. Swing your partner, Brandon Brown.
Yeah, I mean, this to get you on the dance floor. Between and something that, about that, like, harmonica is just like a very optimistic feels, just like stuff's going well.
I'm probably gonna mess up the name, but the song Cotton Eye Joe's, where'd you come from, where'd you go, that song right there,
by Rednecks. By the Rednecks,
is that the name of it? I ain't want to offend anybody.
I believe it's a Rednecks.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right,
right.
I think it's Rednecks with an X.
Yeah, I think so.
First time I heard that was at UT. That was a bar there too, or a place. Cotton Eye Joe's,
Cotton Eye Joe Rednecks. Yep.
That's the name? Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're not slandering anybody, Moan.
Hey, try not.
Not for this minute.
What Kendrick say? Screw your cancel culture.
Country Boys, Country Boys tag team that worked for some of the promotions that I worked with in pro wrestling, they use that as their theme song.
That'll get you going, too.
What, Cotton Eye Joe?
The Cotton Eye Joe. Both of them.
I'm not the biggest fan of Cotton Eye Joe. Really? Sort of irritating.
What?
Shafe?
It can get you going, but it gets irritating quickly.
Right, I think both are true. There are times I'm like, all right, I'm all right with it. All right, now we've had enough.
Okay, I get that.
Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline, Jason Swain from Sports Animal in Knoxville. What's going on, Swain?
What's up, everything, guys?
I was about to say, how are you? And you just said everything right behind it, Swain.
Good conversation, Swain. Have a good show.
Hey. People ask me, what's up? I say, everything is up. I'm so used to saying nothing or, oh, I don't know. And, man, it's everything is up. Everything is up.
What's the talk right now on your show? What are you guys getting into the most? Is it baseball right now, or are people already looking towards football? Where is everybody?
It's a mix. It's a mix for sure. I think baseball, the excitement is still there. Tennessee number 1 in the country, and they have been for a couple of weeks. And the expectation is these guys, you look at the analysts, and they feel like Tennessee is the best team in the country. And there's a large gap in between them and everyone else. And I think the expectation is to go all the way. So it's just been fun to kind of follow this team and see how much fun they're having, seeing them be the target of college baseball. One, because they are the number 1 team in the country, and number 2, because of how they play. And that can rub some people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So they know they have a target on their back, and people are gunning for them because, the baseball purists don't feel like they play the game the right way. So that's been fun to watch. And then, Tennessee football, we're getting closer and closer to the start of summer, and Tennessee announced buying out BYU yesterday, and going to play Virginia there in Nashville to start 2023 season. So I'm looking forward to going over to Ramon's house and sleeping on the couch, man. I don't know what floor I'm going to be on. This is the first floor, the second floor, third floor, or the fourth floor.
You got to take an elevator, Swain.
Okay. All right. I see where we're headed today. Swain. Matter of fact, you sleep by the fire pit outside. That's where we're going.
Oh, look who's got a fire pit.
I know it's nice.
That's the Swain I know and love right there, baby.
Look, man, if your name's Jason, that means that, look, we don't have Ramon Foster money out here.
See, that's...
No, we don't, man. See, this is
what we're... And you're just buying into it, huh, Swain? Want to talk about the improper benefits you got with all those Jordans at Tennessee?
NIL deal, man. NIL deal.
Wait a second. When did you play? I'm not sure NIL was part of the equation back then.
Listen,
you got dead quiet. Deal. That's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Swain said, no face, no case, baby. There we go.
So to that point about baseball purists, does it matter what they say as long as you're winning? Like, we feel like, look, the worm can turn real fast if you lose. All those antics can become the opposite. But as long as you're winning, I don't think anybody cares.
No, it doesn't matter. As long as you're winning and as long as you're playing hard for one another, and, I mean – They really haven't done anything crazy lately. I mean, I guess the last thing you can point at is when Luke Lipsius, you know, put his finger on the home plate, which I thought was hilarious. But, you know, they haven't really done much since then. But as long as you're winning, I mean, it can only say so much. And if you are saying a lot while Tennessee is winning, that just means you're a hater. And that's okay because, you know, we need haters to motivate us and push us. So, if I'm Tennessee baseball, I want as many haters as possible.
When it comes down to that side of the game too, Swain, just embracing the villain role. That's one thing I've learned since being on this side of the media and covering our Vols and just honestly all things Tennessee sport is it can get kind of toxic, man. And as far as embracing that side of the fan base, man, what do you say to those people that, you know what, buy into it? We've been down long enough or what?
I say embrace it, you know. Patriot fans, they love being hated. Why? Because they were a dynasty when Tom Brady was there. Duke basketball, Coach K, people hated Duke because they're sorry. No, because they were winning and beating everybody up. People hate schools and programs, organizations that win at a high level. That's where I want to be. I want people to be jealous, envious, upset. Accuse us of cheating. I mean, that's what they do to all the other organizations and programs that win at a high level. So I want that energy coming my way. That means we're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. Swain, you're a guy, man, that's from the state of Alabama that played at the University of Tennessee.
Hey, don't be reminding folks, though, all right? Don't be reminding people I'm from Alabama.
Hey, man,
right? Try to keep it a secret.
Look, you and JK, man. Joey was, too.
Yeah. With that being said, Tennessee has been dipping his paw into the water of Alabama talent, man. End up getting the 4-star safety out of the state also. For kids to leave Alabama and go to Tennessee, what does that actually say to you as far as, you know, what this group has been able to do as far as recruit?
Well, I mean, for them, it's all about building strong relationships first. And it's about fits. And the sale is up front and honest. It's, hey, we're going to have fun. We're going to play fast. And we're going to be real. And, you know, let's not get it twisted here. It's not like Tennessee's going down there and stealing kids away from University of Alabama right now. So one thing you have to do is you got to find kids early in the process. You know, the Alabamas of the world right now, they're going to slow play recruits. Mm. Why? Because they can. But one thing you can do, get in early, identify a player early, beat out Auburn, beat out, you know, some of the other programs, Ole Misses, the Floridas of the world, get in early, let that kid know that you see what they can be, and you commit to them, they commit to you, and then hopefully if Alabama comes along or Georgia comes along that you have built a strong enough relationship to where those kids won't flip. But the stage of where Tennessee football is, you have to identify guys early and make that connection with them.
No, that's absolutely right. When you look at what Heupel is doing from that standpoint, from the recruiting standpoint, and some of the names that are getting there, Is it just the fact that you watch him and you know that offense is something that you want to be a part of and that's helping you out? Or is it really, is it Spire and is it all the other stuff that's happening all across the country? We talked to Fulmer. He said, look, it's not just ball anymore. I don't know that I'd want to be a part of this universe from that standpoint as a football coach. But just think about all the stuff that you have to navigate now if you're Josh Heupel and you're just any kind of athletic program. What do you think it is? Like, what's the biggest draw right now, at least from Heupel's standpoint, to get people there?
I mean, I think it's a combination. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves, guys. I mean, we are, you know, new world of college athletics. And so NIL deals is part of, I think, recruits' decisions, honestly. The culture is important. The success rate of getting guys to the next level and then currently winning is important. Now, the education, the major, that factors in as well. But, I mean, and Josh Heupel's in a good position. And I think Coach Fulmer, if he was coaching right now, he would be in a good position, too, to navigate through the new world because you have organizations like Spire that set up the right way. And you have the fan base that's going to be involved. And it's going to be better for the NIL. So you see the reports out there. You see top recruits looking at Tennessee going, oh, man, I like Tennessee now. Well, I'm sure you do because, you know, we got a good NIL game going on over here. So, you know, it's unfortunate for some other programs that may not have that type of structure, but that's just too bad. Mm-hmm. Tennessee is in a really good spot. And I think if you're Josh Heupel, you're just fortunate that you have a lot of support around you to be able to use the NIL to help you in recruiting and keeping guys in your locker rooms because you see around the country, guys are hitting the portal, going other places because there's better opportunities. We haven't had that. We've had guys stay here because they're getting taken care of.
Swain, and that's why I kind of wanted to go with you. Like Jason said, we had Fulmer on in the last hour, and I'm sure you was out there that practice that day. He told me to just take off, and I just had to go run, and he didn't give me a number when to stop. And I asked him about that, and he said, nowadays, kids will just keep running to the portal. You know what I'm saying? So what do you have to do as a coach, man, to really keep it bottled in, to keep the process the same, to where you have a guy like the Alabama running back, what was his, Robinson, that finally got his line share mm-hmm. of the carries this past year, and it was very productive for Alabama or anywhere else. What do you have to do to keep those guys in the building and locked in on the program and their teammates?
It's a double-edged sword, Ramon. I think it's a little mix of both. Like, yeah, kids got to be tougher, mentally tougher, and it starts at home with parents and understanding that it's not, you know, necessarily the tone. It's the words that you got to pay attention to. So just because you yelled that doesn't mean like you should crawl into a ball and start crying. Listen to what the coach is saying. So you have that side of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where kids are a little more fragile. They are running to the transfer portal when they don't need to. But on the same hand, this portal has really been good for the players because now these coaches who have all this power or had all this power, it will talk to you out of your name and demean you and treat you a certain type of way because they knew you couldn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
How about the coaches who have been fired over the last couple of months for racist comments?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're weeding them coaches out of here. So I think the portal is bad on some hand, but on the other hand, hey, man, if you a coach that you living different than what you're saying in locker rooms, then you're going to get processed. You're going to get exposed. So the real coaches, the genuine coaches, the coaches that truly, truly care about their players as human beings and not some commodity, man, those are the coaches who will win, and those are the programs that will be successful moving forward with this new world of college athletics.
So one thing I've seen floated out there, Swain, from a couple of different people, I'm just curious what you think about this idea, the idea that you're not worth anything before you've done anything for my university. So maybe the rules should change to where you can't make anything until after your first year in terms of some of the deals that they're signing in advance, these million-dollar deals and all this. I kind of roll my eyes because, one, it ain't going to happen. But is there some kind of middle ground here where some version of that makes sense because you're paying an exorbitant amount of money to people who have done literally nothing for you?
Yeah, I mean, we all are saying, hey, yo, something has to change, but we don't have any solution because don't think there is one. Like you can't cap somebody's earning potential. I mean, you worth whatever the market say you are worth. So I mean, you can't tell a kid, hey, you can't make any, you can't make this amount. This is too much, or you can't make any until you get here. Well, if he's worth that right now, then why can't he get paid that? And then you look at some of the laws around the country. In California, high school players can get paid now. So wow. that's the issue. There's not a uniform, there's not a uniform law across the country. There's different states that have different laws, and that makes it, I think, a lot more difficult for the NCAA to try to manage this thing. Man, they had chances to do this years ago and kicked the can down the road. Didn't want to do anything. Looked the other way. Just kept making money off the players' back, and this is where they are. So I don't feel sorry for them at all. It does, stink when you look at, some of the things that's going on. I would never, ever be on board with tampering. There's a player on one team, and you have representatives calling that player, getting him to get to the portal. For you to steal him, I'm not okay with that. But as far as players on the current team driving Lamborghinis or recruits saying, hey, I want to go to this school because they got the best NIL deal, if that's what he wants to do, cool. I'm cool with all that stuff. I'm not cool with the tampering.
So is the way I look at it, I'm riding that same car with you, Swain, as far as saying that. But I'll say this to us. I had somebody ask me, was it y'all? Like, what would you tell a kid? No, it's fine, but what would you tell a kid in this era of NILs and going to school? Because instead of $6 million, you're going to give me $8 million. Or instead of $200,000, I'm going to get $1.2 million. So how do you make a decision? Swain, I would probably tell them like you would in a sense, look, just because the school is offering this doesn't mean you're probably going to play it. And the system has to be right for you in order to actually play there and actually go to the next level, because it's only so far your talent is going to go if you're not actually playing or being productive in that offense or defense.
Yeah. I mean, I think the conversation needs to start with, hey, what is your long-term goal?
Yeah.
Like, we know that you are top 50 player, top 100 player. And most of the time, these are the guys that put themselves in position to play at the next level in the NFL. Is that what you ultimately want to do, or do you want to be a college athlete who makes some chump change, but after that money's going to run out? If you're someone that has a vision, you have good people around you to let you know that, hey, the long-term goal is going to the NFL, then you got to put yourself in a position to do that, whether it's playing on a team that gives you that exposure to competition, or the system that uses your talents to the best of your abilities. And if that's less than the other school that is not a fit for you, so one school's offering you $200,000 and the school that's a best fit for you is only offering you $100,000, man, you gotta understand that, all right, is that $100,000 worth losing opportunity to make millions in the long run?
Mm-hmm.
Those are conversations I think that got to happen, man. Like, I'm a receiver in high school. I'm not playing at a, school with triple option just because they give me an extra $100,000. That's crazy. No, I'm going somewhere to catch balls. So I will take that $100,000 reduction, but I'm going to a place where I know that three guys are going to catch 70 passes a season, because I know I'm going to make that money up on the back end.
Right.
Don't let the money that you can get now blind you from the long-term goal of going to the next level. That's the conversation I would have with some of these players who are making decisions solely on the price tag.
Yeah. Let me ask you this before we're on your way out, man. What do you need to see in year two from Heupel from this offense? Before we even get to camp, before we get to who the starters, before we get to week one, what's the one step you think needs to be made, whether offensively and defensively for this team quickly?
Third down and short, I want to see us blowing MFs off the ball, Ramon. Goal line, third down and short, I want us to get more first down and short yard situations offensively. Defensively, I want us to get to the passer. I want us to convert on third downs and get off the field. Ole Miss game gave up too many third down conversions. So, for me, it's about third down on offense and defense. Blowing MFs off the ball.
There we go, Swain.
Real quick, what do you think of Theo as a Titan?
Oh, man, that makes my heart so warm to see Theo Jackson, a Titan, see him up there in the podium. just so happy for him. I know he's going to make the best of the opportunity. He's one of the coolest stars in the SEC, one of the most underrated stars in the SEC and the entire country. So happy for him.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Swain. Good stuff, brother. Now you get to talk for a living as well a little bit later on today.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate you guys. I mean, y'all guys are killing it. Just happy to be, you know, partners with you guys. And, man, look forward to being on again.
Indeed, Swain.
No doubt.
We definitely will. Yeah, he brought it today.
Yeah, love it, man.
Blowing brother. off the ball.
Bleepers off the ball. I'm with him.
That's what Urban Meyer thinks of kickers.
Also, what he thinks of his hand. Uh-oh.
Fulmer's comment, by the way, as we go to break, Fulmer's comment with us last hour when he was talking about running you, running you right into the portal now, he's not wrong.
He ain't wrong.
That's why I don't think Herb can go back and coach again. Because that style, they'll just leave.
I thought it was hardening you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was part of the process. Now it's a little different, man.
It's what Deshaun likes as well.
So hey, get out of
J-Mart
here.
J-Mart and Ramon, 104.5.
Bless your heart.
J-Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. So, boy, Titans fans aren't the only people upset with Mike Tannier, and Tannier doesn't care.
Ooh.
We do not care.
What did he call that happened to an article he wrote to somebody? What?
What do you call it? Snitch tag?
Snitch tag.
That's what Aaron Schatz said.
Yeah. So he snitch tagged the entire
Bears receiving corps.
Yeah.
Because what he said in the draft was basically, yeah, Bayless is a number one receiver there. He ain't a number one.
Mm-hmm.
They did nothing, and Justin Fields is the one that
is going to be
just left holding the bag, basically.
I mean, you really got to look at it. I love Bayless. You know what I'm saying? As far as what his playmaking ability
is. Great three.
But you need, yeah, you need some other help unless somebody on that roster is a gem that we don't know about, Jason.
No, we got important business to take care of here.
What happened? What happened?
Craig Ferguson is 60, Moan. Craig Ferguson of the Late Late Show, great comedian. He is how tall?
I'm giving him 5'8".
Schaefer, you have a thought?
5'11".
He's 6'1 and a half.
Yeah. That sounds
taller
like
a dude.
Short person name right there.
What?
I don't really.
Short person name.
It's not Guy Fieri's birthday, but how tall is Guy Fieri?
Guy Fieri? I'm giving him 5'10".
That's exactly correct.
Is he? There we go. I've seen him next to people. That's why.
He was in town.
He was in town a couple weeks ago at Whatchamacallit Chicken.
Yeah.
Place. At Whatchamacallit Chicken. I can't think of the
name. Is that the name of the restaurant?
No. Oh. It should be.
I like
that. You better say that one.
Set that one up.
There's right. We'll trademark that.
Candy bar name, Whatchamacallit.
Yeah, that's right. There's usually one in there because Ron.
Sweet Tooth Ron.
I'm
worried about Ron.
Jenna Fisher.
Jenna Fisher?
Oh. Who is?
Pam.
Correct.
She, most Hollywood actors, actresses are small. I'm giving her 5'3".
5'7".
5'5".
All right.
Way
right
back.
Right in the middle there. You won Price is Right rules?
According to. Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of where you want to be right there. So that's pretty good.
You said 5'7".
Phrasing.
Rick Fox, basketball player, of course.
They're usually taller than you think. I'm giving Rick Fox 6'9".
6'8".
6'6".
What?
See, I thought 6'6", and then you said taller than you think, so I went, all right, I'll go to 6'8".
Are they not most of the time? Like, Steph is 6'3", isn't he? He looks short out there.
He does look short, yes. Aretha Franklin.
Ooh, queen of soul.
Don't diss R-E-S-P-E-C-T her.
I'm giving, she was a tall lady. I'm giving a 5'9".
5'10".
5'5".
Wow. Ain't no way.
She was a tall lady, or she was not.
Well, her
was also that possibility.
Maybe her stature looked like she looked like a tall lady.
Man.
Ralph Macchio. First off, who was Ralph Macchio, man?
Comedian. Ralph Macchio. Am I off on that one?
Danielson.
Oh, my God.
You know what that reference was?
Danielson, Karate Kid.
Okay.
Yeah, of course I know that.
Sure.
Ralph was probably 5'7".
Which I'm going to go 5'8".
5'8 and three quarters.
Did you Price is Right me?
Machine.
No, I thought he was 5'8".
Machine Gun Kelly.
6'1".
Mr. Megan Fox.
Mr. Megan Fox. He's gone. They're drinking each other's blood.
Yeah, they're a little weird.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I give him 6'1", Shafe.
6'2".
6'3 and a half.
If you outbid me,
$1.
He's legitimately outbidding me right now.
McLemore.
5'6". I don't think he's that tall.
5'10".
5'10 and a half.
God!
Now, but I didn't.
You didn't outbid me that time. Okay. You just straight up hit the mark.
Yep.
5'10". God.
Put out an album on Friday. Kendrick Lamar.
K dot small. 5'6".
5'8".
5'4 and a half.
I told you.
Wow. I knew he was small. I didn't realize he was that small.
He's 5'4"?
Ooh.
Miles is about his height.
He might need to stop rapping because you can't come hard at 5'4".
Well, RJ's taller than everyone on this list.
K dot's 5'4"?
He's 5'4 and a half. 164 centimeters. I'd say I was 164 centimeters.
Centimeters,
whatever. I'm making up words.
Golly.
That's demerit.
Is it? Jay Leno, who's now doing a new TV show, apparently.
6 foot even.
Are we talking about his chin or his height?
Oh, my gosh.
Dude.
Jay Leno. The chin is in multiple zip codes.
Yeah.
Does he insure it the same his way Michael Buffer does it?
His chin takes up all of Orange County.
What is, and his car garage.
Right.
That thing is magnificent.
Jay Leno is...
I'm going to say 5'6". I don't think he's that tall.
He's 5'11".
Okay, I was dead wrong on that one.
I figured he was a little taller.
One more quickly. Haven't seen him play in a while.
What's his name? The eyebrow?
Oh, Anthony Davis. No, Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard, 6'7".
6'5".
6'6". So right. Both of you were wrong.
Got it. Split. Shafe's under, so he wins.
Yeah.
I can't believe Kendrick Lamar is 5'4".
Ain't no way I thought he was 5'4". I knew he was short.
I knew he was short, too, but I didn't realize he was 5'4 short. No, we're not.
We're not height shaming.
If we were, who cares? Not like they can do anything about it.
Donkey Kong.
They can nut tap us, but they don't have to reach down to do it. Fourth hour's next. Ron Slay in 25 minutes. Jay Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.